Dude, today is like the first day in 8 days that I feel good.
Oh, praise God.
And it is awesome to feel good again.
Dude, I know what you mean. Like when you have a cold and you think, I'll never be able to breathe again. I'm just sure of it. And this is just my life now. And then you finally do have that day where you wake up and you're like, oh,
just breathe. Yeah, but mine was not a cold. It was something else. You know, we had that
Dude, lots of people are sick right now.
The Minahan house is just like flooded with sickness right now. Leo has a fever. Luke is sick. Anna's been... I mean, we're down. Mm. And so it's been tough. You know, we had our belated epiphany party this last week.
Yeah.
And all I could think about was, please leave so I can go to sleep. The whole time. The whole time I was just like, I really have to go to sleep. But I probably played it off decently.
Yeah.
I had a recording for Exodus that we were doing, and I was running like 101 fever. I felt like terrible. And it was right before the launch. And so I was like, no, I gotta get it.
Yeah.
And so like, I just hyped myself up right beforehand. No one knew I was sick. Sounded great. You know, sounded like I had energy and all this stuff. And I literally finished the episode, put my phone on silent, rolled over and fell asleep and didn't get up again. Dude, I don't know what it was. Like, I don't know. Can we call RFK? Like, can we figure this out? Like, I don't know what it was, but
I'll bet it's worms in your brain, dude.
Maybe. I don't know. That sounds terrible. That sounds way worse than what I had, but it was brutal.
I just said that because RFK, I think, did have like worms in his brain.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It, like, he said it and people made fun of him because they thought, in saying he was crazy, and then it turned out like, oh, actually
he did
or something. It's if that's not exactly right, it's something it's something very much like what I just said.
Yeah, dude, but it just feels like finally. Yeah, like even at the you know, we just had our annual retreat at Clear Creek.
Yeah.
And I was Thursday, you know, so we went Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Thursday night I go, I'm just not going to go.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, I don't feel good. I'm not going to go there and sleep in this smaller than twin size cot, you know, with no heat or AC, and feeling terrible the whole time. It's like, I'm just not going to. And then like, I finally felt good enough to go, but I still wasn't feeling good. Anyway, I'm just like happy to, like, it just feels good to feel good.
It does feel good to feel good. I think I'm glad that you feel good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Speaking of feel good, I don't want to use any names, but I just want to, I'm just so excited about it. We talked about this earlier. We have a friend whose wife was recently diagnosed with cancer, I think for the third time. Yes. And it's like, man, yeah, how many times can you
have to go through
Can you cheat this?
Yeah.
Once again, just like miraculously, they went in for a checkup today. And like nothing had been looking good. It was looking bad.
Yeah. Blood cancer.
Blood cancer, right. And it was like, then today, just gone.
Blood turned out great.
Totally no cancer in the blood.
And dude, I read that text message today and just like started like crying.
It was so overwhelming.
Because we've been praying for this family. This family.
The best.
Yeah. People. And I called him immediately.
So
prayers, such a great
prayers
day.
Of thanksgiving for the goodness of our Lord.
Praise God. It was so awesome.
I was telling you this because this is her third miraculous cure from cancer.
At least second for sure that I know of. Maybe third.
However many.
Yeah.
I think it's three. Maybe it's two. I'm leaning towards three.
Sure.
That like some people God uses as a billboard. And this particular woman, she's like God's billboard. Just very, like, here is on display God's, healing power, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just incredible. So anyway, just very thankful for that today.
Me too, man. I couldn't give thanks, like, harder.
Yeah.
So tonight, hey, we're going to drink something different tonight. I've never had this before, never even heard of it before. Shout out to our West Coast listeners, because this is coming from your neck of the woods. It's called Redwood Empire. It's the, I liked it because it's called The Lost Monarch.
I dig.
It's a small batch American whiskey, bourbon and rye blend, cask strength, so you can tell it's strong. But it's out of San Francisco, which is cool. I'm going to, have I told you this? I'm going to San Francisco soon.
No, you've not.
I'm going to San Francisco the first weekend of March, so in about a month.
4K.
For a conference. I'm giving three talks. It's my first time to give three talks in one.
Wow.
One conference. So that'll be interesting.
I hope you don't bomb the first one.
Yes. If you're going to bomb one, the third one's definitely the one. Second, probably.
Second,
yeah. Because that way you have something you can make up.
Maybe the first. Just like, I hope you don't bomb.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
really
it.
At all.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, if you're in the San Francisco area, come hang out. We'll be at St. Dominic's, I believe, in San Francisco.
Right on.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers.
So this is, what was the percentage of rye? Did we look it up? 45%. 55% rye.
It is, but it's cask strength, and you can tell. I mean, it is strong.
It is.
Strong.
Yeah. After drink, you know, all of the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society bottles are always cask strength.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is, it's my preference, honestly.
Really?
There's so much more, it is stronger,
yeah.
But also there's a lot more flavor, you know, and it's, you can add a little bit of water,
mm-hmm.
and you get a lot more of a, it's more of an adventure, flavor adventure. Because, you know, you add a little water to any whiskey, and it, you know, changes.
Sure.
And that's kind of fun to do. But if you are starting with barrel strength stuff, you've got a, there's a longer road for those flavor Ooh. Adventures.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's pretty good. It's strong.
How much was it?
About $80, $90, mm-hmm. something about that. So
yeah, I like it.
Pretty solid.
I would say that is reasonable.
I like the label.
Like a mountain man with
redwood
trees. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I also like that.
So, what else is going on? What else have you been in?
Just been.
How did the retreat go?
The retreat went really well. You know, Clear Creek is just
the best.
It's just always the best.
Mm-hmm.
The time out there, I was telling Lady Pamela, it's so weird. When I got there on Friday, I was trying to get there before Vespers at 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I got there at like 5:45. I was hoping to get there. I was shooting for 5, but some stuff came up at work and I just couldn't leave.
I got there
I was planning
5:53. Three or something like that.
Nice.
Like rolling right before Vespers.
So when I get there, it's like, oh, good. You know, 15 minutes. Just, you know, not. Time goes by faster and slower simultaneously. In that 15 minutes, I had time to like chat with some people, like, you know, some people from our group, like, oh, yeah. Yeah, well, hey, you know, we chatted, like, oh, I guess I'll take up my stuff up to my room. Go take it up there, come back down. Chat with some people some more, and like, oh, say hi to Father Nesbitt, and then kind of like meander over into the church for Vespers. You know, it's like a lot of things took place in that 15 minutes.
Hmm.
It's just very strange. The monks, they're never in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will say like, oh, I have to be there in 2 minutes, so I have to go. I'll see you in a little while. And then they just kind of like walk away. You know, you think like 2 minutes, you better hurry. It's like, oh no, there's no hurry.
I don't hurry.
It's just right there. You know, it's very funny. I really like talking to the monks.
Me too.
They have
to Father Bethel for a while and it was fun.
Yes, but I also like talking to some, like sometimes at the gatehouse, there'll be a monk who's like filling in who doesn't normally talk to people.
Right.
You know, those are the ones I like to talk to.
Dude, I talked to one. It was hilarious. Because I asked him, I was like, hey, what are you reading? He was like, really, I'm not really nothing. And I was like, you had a book in your hand before I like approached you.
Bro, you're holding it. Yeah. It's right there.
And I was like, I like pointed it to him. And then you realize like, okay, I'm going to have to appease him and talk to him, you know? And so he basically kind of stumbled, mumbled around into saying this weird, obscure Russian guy who was writing about icons. And that was, but it took him a long time to get to that point.
So, if you've never been to Clear Creek, their bookstore, their gatehouse, as they call it, they have, it's this incredible selection of books. It's, you know, not huge, but it's curated so well, not only in what they carry, but which editions, some of the like really nice editions of all of these great books. I just love going there. So I was asking this monk, like, who picks, I don't know. It's like, is it just like, these are the books you guys read? Well, we have a brother who does it. Monks like books. And it's like, well, give him my compliment. Like, oh, very good. Yes, I will do that. I'm sure he did. I bet he did.
It's so good. So what did you read while you were there?
St. Francis de Sales.
Which is what we're going to talk about tonight.
We're going to be talking about today.
All right. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm Dave Niles here with Adam Minahan.
Woo! Feeling good.
I just had a sneeze. It was a good sneeze.
Nice.
Starting segment two off in a good direction.
Good. Good. Good.
So yes, on Friday when we got to Clear Creek, mm-hmm. It was the feast of St. Francis de Sales. Yes. And so I made sure...
One of my favorite saints.
Dude, he's so good.
He's like, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Patron saint of writers.
Mm-hmm.
I've been leaning on him a lot this year because, you know, I told you that this year...
Oh, yeah, you're writing all the time.
Well, not all the time.
I mean, pretty much all the time.
Yeah, basically all the time. Basically a writer
Would
now.
You put your pen down, please? We're trying to talk.
Yeah.
It's very rude.
But yeah, so and he's a patron saint of media, you know, so...
A lot of stuff. He's a patron saint of a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I have a
doctor of the church,
bishop and doctor of the church. I was so I have a deep devotion to St. Francis de Sales. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I did not read that. I did not read him at our retreat, but
missed opportunity.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
I got a chance. Like I was reading Dante. I was reading Dante's Inferno. And I was reading like
he's good. Not a doctor of
three,
the church.
No, he's not. Will not be a saint because he was putting saints into hell.
Only one.
And he wasn't canonized at the time.
Yeah.
I was reading...
Which is a big caveat. It's a very important caveat.
That is. But I was reading three different translations. So it was like... It was just so much fun.
Mm.
I don't ever have the chance to... Normally, if I'm reading it, it's like, okay, I need to read this so I can understand it and move on. And like, just at for leisure, I was like, you know what? Just because I want to do it. Because I, like, out of pure enjoyment, I want to read... This canto and this translation and this translation.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
It is so much better when you're able to do something, not because you need to.
Right. It's just like this.
And like, you're not even trying to finish.
Mm-mm.
You know, you're just like, oh, I'm just going to read this. Like sometimes I'm able to pray the rosary that way, you know, just in adoration. Like, well, I don't need to rush. I'm not trying to do anything.
Just be with you, Jesus.
Yeah. Just pray a real nice, slow rosary. Nice. So, but I was reading some things from St. Francis de Sales. It just really struck me because I get to, you know, prayed Vespers, as we kind of mentioned, and I went back up to the room, had about an hour before dinner, and the very first thing, I open up the Introduction to the Devout Life, which is on my, like, you know, you can have five books for the rest of your life. Introduction to the Devout Life, it's on my list.
Mine too. Yeah. Mine too. And it's, like, it's also, I think, because it's not nostalgic, but, like, a little bit, just because when I picked it up, I needed to read that.
Yeah,
it was something that I needed.
Yeah, I could have said that because I think that applies to everybody in any state of life.
Yeah, probably
for that
yeah.
for that book. I mean, yeah. it's just the perennial.
Yeah, man, he just has the heart of the desire of the laity to be saints, and like makes it very clear, like you can be a saint. He had this universal call to holiness before John Paul II started talking about the universal call to holiness.
Right.
And like, so he had this deep desire to bring the laity, to ascend them, to elevate them to holiness.
Yes. And because I think what I appreciate about this book is, you know, there's a lot of books that are written kind of trying to do this same thing. Imitation of Christ is another really good example.
Beautiful
fantastic book.
But
the difference between the Imitation of Christ and the Introduction to the Devout Life is the Imitation of Christ is written for religious.
Right.
And Introduction to the Devout Life is written for the laity.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that, the principles of holiness are universal, okay? But in the practical application of some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Francis de Sales is so plain and to the point, direct. He's pithy. You know, he just says, here's what you ought to do.
My favorite translation of it is by a publisher called Paraclete Giants. And I'll tell you, because there's a bunch of different ones that if you've never heard of them, you're like, I'm going to go get this book, which I highly recommend you doing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Ascension has one that's really, really good as well. But the reason why I like Paraclete Giants is because what it does is on the right side of the page, it has his works. On the left side of the page, it has all of the notes basically to help you understand what he's talking about. Gives it context and like, oh, well, he's saying this because at this time in this location of Italy, this part of Italy, they were struggling with this. Or, you know, it gives you a lot more context into why he's saying this, especially like from a cultural standpoint, and like a geographical standpoint, which I found to be very beneficial and helpful.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Also, you know, he'll say like, well, you know, Pierre did the blah blah blah, and you're like, I don't even know who's this Pierre dude. I don't know Pierre. You know, and then it has a footnote on that basically about him.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, well, that makes more sense. So anyway, it's called Paraclete Giants. The book looks like it's a lot bigger than what it really is because
of all the notes.
Yeah, because of the notes.
So. Very good. Well, on Friday when I opened up Introduction to the Devout Life, just the very first thing I read was just something that was like, man, just it was very profound in the simplicity of this idea, which is on our list today we're going to talk about. And it was just something like, you know what? I decided I'm going to do this. I'm going to like work this in.
Was it at that moment?
To my life. It was at that moment I decided. I've read the whole book, Introduction to the Devout Life, but I don't recall.
I think I've read it twice, at least twice all the way through. And then I've picked apart.
After I read it once, I said, I read it cover to cover that first time just to read it,
mm-hmm.
just to see what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't do that. I will read, I start at the table of contents.
And then you figure out what you want to.
Yeah.
But he's so awesome because there's parts on it on like how to have a meditative prayer, like the practical steps on how to have, to participate in
first,
meditative prayer.
First, think about this.
Right.
Then think this. About this.
Right.
Let it move to this.
Yeah. Right. And then he talks about virtue. He talks about friendship. He talks about the sacramental life, the importance of confession. I mean, he just talks about a whole array of things.
Yeah. He's just a fantastic saint.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So I have here just excerpts, some of my favorite excerpts from St. Francis de Sales. These are things that just have popped out at me recently. Okay, so this is not intended to be like top 10.
Okay.
These are just...
This is not like David Letterman's top 10.
No, these are just, but they're all really great.
Or was that Leno?
I don't know.
Either way, they were both terrible.
Anyway, yeah. Go ahead. So, I want to start off with this. So I want to read them, and then Adam, I want you to break it down for us. Okay, I want you to.
Okay, just for like context here, Dave sent this list to me as I was driving over to his house to record this.
Yeah.
So I have not had the opportunity or the luxury to read through all this.
This is just, we do it the other way. We do this the other way around all the time. You might send it to me early, but I don't read it.
Right, but that's not because, you know.
But it's like, but by the time we get to this point, you know, positions are the same, okay?
It's like, I send it to you, you know,
look, it doesn't
12 hours
It doesn't matter who sends what to who, okay?
When.
Or when, who right. read this or what, okay?
Okay, fair.
We're just gonna, now I'm the one with the notes, and I'm gonna read the stuff.
All right, let's do
okay.
it.
He says, oh, what remorse we shall feel at the end of our lives when we look back upon the great number of instructions and examples afforded by God and the saints for our perfection, and so carelessly received by us. If this end were to come to you today, how would you be pleased with your life, the life you have led this year?
Mm.
I like how he doesn't say, like, you know, how, your life. He's just like, what about this year?
Yes. Well, this year has been going swimmingly so far. We just started
27 days of it, or yes. however many.
And XS90 has helped. So, but this reminds me of what we talked about last week, is how I just have this deep desire to have on my mind heavenly things all the time. Like, that's what I want to weed out, the things that are keeping me from thinking about heaven.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, this is kind of a memento mori, which is just has such a way of putting things in perspective.
I also do like what you said, like, what did you do? What have you done for this year? That was the reason why we decided this year for our family to have very specific goals, so that way, and we're written them out. We're writing them out. There's some that we have, and some that we haven't finished yet, but. We're intentionally writing them out with our children so that by the end of the year, we can look back and be like, see, we wanted to set our, you know, we wanted to do this and we've done it. And also, like, for my anchor, who is a good friend of ours, Chad, what we decided to do is we took pictures of like what our goals were for this year. And we sent it to each other. And so that way we can like, keep up with and try to have a good context of like, oh, well, you're struggling with this. Well, that's not part of what your goal is. And so I think if we were much more intentional about what we were trying to accomplish this year, this is what like St. Alphonsus Liguori talks about, right? Is that how do you become holy? It's like each month, just focus on one virtue. And then by the end of the year, you have increased in 12 virtues.
Yeah.
And you're now a holy person.
If you can be intentional about that.
Right.
So I think this next one really follows up with what you're saying about you want to focus on the things about God. He says, there are many who say to the Lord, I give myself wholly to thee without any reserve. But there are few who embrace the practice of this abandonment. This is a... I don't want this one to get cut off. And it is getting cut off. Yeah.
It's too good.
So I'm going to save it. We're going to revisit it on the other side of this break.
Due to our hard break on Catholic Radio, we will have to do this on the other side of the break. Support your local Catholic radio station. They are continually planting seeds of evangelization in your local community. We'll be right back.
Men, do you feel stuck in old idols? Or burdened by the pharaohs of our time? Do you know that you're capable of so much more than you are giving today? Exodus 90 is the number one freedom app to help you become the man you were created to be. Exodus 90 is a powerful 90-day journey to freedom in Jesus Christ, and it starts on January 20th. Download the Exodus 90 app today to join tens of thousands of men from all around the world. We begin January 20th. Join us.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Hey, we're going to Italy and we want you to come with us. We're going to go in October. Lady Pamela, Lady Haley, David, myself, Jimbo Baggins, and Kathy. We're all going. And we would love for you to come with us on a pilgrimage. Father Stuart Krepkor is our spiritual guide through the pilgrimage. It's a jubilee year. We're going to some of the best places in Italy. It's going to have... it's going to be, if you're wanting a pilgrimage that's going to absolutely affect your spiritual life, but also be a lot of fun, this is the pilgrimage for you. Mm-hmm. This is like what we do.
We have fun and we pray.
And we have fun.
Holiness can be fun.
And so
I like to have fun.
If you go to selectinternationaltours.com/Catholic Mancho, or you just give, like, just Google Catholic Mancho pilgrimage, it's going to pop up. You can even call Select International Tours, talk to them. They're more than happy to help you, walk you through getting signed up.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be staying at some fantastic hotels in the process. Mm-hmm. All with what is really a very reasonably priced pilgrimage.
Yeah.
I was very happy with the price. I compared it to other pilgrimages that are going on the same week, doing the same thing, and I was like, hey. Ours is cheaper.
Right. So go check us out. And we'd love for you to come with us.
Okay.
Could be the last big thing we do for a long time. Just saying.
Maybe. Yeah. Who knows? The Lord knows. That's who knows. So this quote. We're talking, you know, you had mentioned about wanting to, like, oh, I want to give myself over to God.
I do.
And when I read this, it's like, man, it just like hit me in the chest. Which is why it's on this piece of paper, why it made the list.
Okay.
There are many, I'll just read it again. There are many who say to the Lord, I give myself wholly to thee without any reserve. But there are few who embrace the practice of this abandonment, which consists in receiving with a certain indifference every sort of event, as it happens in conformity with divine providence, as well as afflictions and consolations, contempt and reproaches, as honor and glory.
Yeah, holy indifference, man, is the real deal. Like, holy detachment and holy indifference, those two things I find are what separate those who are walking among us when you realize, like, you're holy. Like, and you just feel like you just realize...
You're like major leagues.
Yeah, like, I want to be like you. Mm-hmm. This and you have the sense and the understanding of, this person has an ordered life, and I want to follow, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
I find that both, you know, some of the characteristics of those people, holy indifference and holy detachment.
Yes. Yeah. Because I do find myself when I say this prayer, oh Lord, I just want to be yours. Like, I'm totally yours, you know? Mm-hmm. But then, 5 minutes later, when some struggle comes about, it's like, oh, Lord, save me. And he's like,
from this injustice,
you know, and it's like, I just don't have that, you know, I need to look through my life through his lenses, right? From that, he's like, you said you wanted me to be totally mine. This is what I'm asking of you right now. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it. This is the job. This is the assignment.
And I think we need to give ourselves a little bit of grace because that's very difficult to do. And just being able to understand.
It's certainly difficult. It's very difficult.
And being able to reflect and say, like, oh, that's what I need to do. I need to be able to have holy indifference here, to be able to say, like, thy will be done, and really truly mean it. Just mm-hmm. to be able to say, okay, that moment is when I should have said, thy will be done, and truly accepted it.
Yeah.
That's a grace, and that's something that you should, like, while of course we don't want to miss the opportunities, but the Lord has said, okay, you missed this opportunity, but I'm giving you the grace to be able to realize it so that the next time you can act upon it.
Yeah.
And that's a grace. That's something that that's a progression, a growth in the spiritual life. And so I think that it's very easy to, as you read through a lot of these saints, and you're like, oh man, I just like, I wouldn't even think that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I get it. Like that's easy to do.
The first step is what, kind of like what you're saying, is recognizing that you're not doing it.
And that's a grace.
Yeah, it is.
And so that recognition
is a grace. Right. Yeah.
And so give yourself, don't be too hard on yourself. And really unpack, where are the graces that are happening in my life right now? And then let that grow.
Yeah. Just today, got home, went out, work on some of the animals. And it was just, I had a moment where I should have said, you know, because in your trials of life, we should always say, thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord, when things go well. Thank you, Lord, when things go poorly, right? Because he knows exactly what we need, and he gives us these things tailor-made for our own progression towards him.
Yeah.
You know, and so those the difficulties and the trials, they're just as much a gift. Well, I really bombed on one of the gifts today. I was out in the barn like trying to re-gift some of these things that the Lord had decided to bestow upon me today. But you know, we learn, we have moments where it's like, oh, okay, that was not it.
I missed.
That's okay. I'll try better next time.
It's like when you re-gift the gift that somebody has already given you, and you're like, oh, the same make and model? No, the same one.
Yeah.
It's like, I love it. And it's like, the Lord, you're just like trying to re-gift that.
Okay, how about this, Adam?
Okay.
Our business is to love what we have. He wills our vocation as it is. Let us love that, and not trifle away our time hankering after other people's vocations.
I think that's beautiful. I think it's something that is very tempting at times when you're a married person to think about how easy it would be to be a priest or a monk, you know, and just like throw away the world and not worry about earthly things and just go and be a monastic, live a monastic life. Or
yeah.
It's like, I don't have to worry about making money more. I'm just a domestic priest. I can just like do my job and just don't worry about money anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's very easy to do as a married man. I'm sure.
Because there are moments where it looks so nice.
So appealing. And I'm sure the other way around plays the same way as a domestic priest and as a monk. You look around, but that's not what God has called you to do. That's not your vocation. And so you should live in the here and now and know that the vocation that you've been given is the tool for your sanctification. It is the path, it is the ladder towards the divine for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so are you going to climb that ladder or not?
Yeah. Yeah. Your vocation is your calling.
Right.
The word vocation is
calling.
Means to call. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of, there's a poem by Dana Gioia called Summer Storm that ends, it ends with, there are so many might have beens, what ifs that won't stay buried, other cities, other jobs, strangers we might have married, and memory insists on pining for places it never went, as if life would be happier just by being different. Like I think that's a universal experience. Like everybody will experience that at some point, no matter how good your life is. You're always going to, you know, the grass does seem greener.
Right.
Even if you're sitting on the greenest grass on the block.
Right.
And that's just part of a vocation, is seeing and understanding that no. It's exclusive, right? That it's, and that's part of that sacredness, is that you set all of the things apart. And if you don't understand the goodness of other vocations, of like other choices, other strangers you might have married, right? If you don't understand the profound goodness of those other things, then it doesn't. You can't understand the sanctity and the goodness of forsaking them for the vocation that you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
on the topic of vocation, so we'll just stick with it. To be perfect in one's vocation is nothing else than to perform the duties and offices to which one is obliged, solely for the honor and love of God, referring to His glory. Whoever works in this manner may be called perfect in his state, a man according to the heart and will of God.
Yeah, that's something that I need to do a little bit better job at, is, what did it say? Solely for the honor and love of God.
Yeah.
Because it's easy for me to say, okay, I did the sacrifice for my family or for my wife or for my children, you know, or like to set our family up for success, or, you know, for, you know, to be in a better place, or so that way we can do this or that, you know, to achieve these ends. I don't do a good job of saying for the honor and glory of our Lord who gave me this opportunity. And right. So thus I did it for Him.
Like, I'm washing these dishes for you.
Right.
You know, I wash the dishes to wash the dishes, because it needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. And that's part of that praying always, that mm-hmm. I just don't have the habit of doing that. I wish I did.
But this is also the holy indifference, right? Just whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm called to, I'm just doing it for Him.
Yeah.
Whatever comes to me, and whatever.
And you can think about how much easier it would be to do those things when your animals are destroying stuff and you're like out there getting mad at them. If you remember that, no, I'm just doing this, is like, I don't care what I'm doing. It's all for like, all right, yeah, God wants me to
rebuild
this again, even though I just did it 2 days ago. Sure, I mean, absolutely, God.
Praise Him.
I'll rebuild it 1,000 times for you. You know, if only.
Hypothetically speaking.
Yeah, if only like some people in the world would adopt that attitude.
They'd be much holier.
They'd be a lot better of a dude.
That's a unique example that you kind of just came out.
You know, just for instance.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about different things, inspired by St. Francis de Sales.
Okay, that sounds good.
We're talking about things and stuff. Stuff and things. How about this, Adam?
Okay.
Reason is the special characteristic of humans. And yet, it is a rare thing to find really reasonable people, since self-love often hinders right reason and beguiles us without our realizing it into all manner of trifling.
Hmm. Yeah.
We set aside our reason because of our self-love and pursue that which is not the highest good.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of that quote from G.K. Chesterton that says, you know, just, you don't want to have too much common sense
too open-minded
to where your brain falls out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, we have reason. That's what separates us, right? But we often don't even cultivate the thing that separates us from animals. And what happens when we don't do that is that we become more animalistic.
Yeah, we become like the animals.
Right.
I think about that. You know, this is something I bring up in confession a lot, where...
Ooh, please do tell.
Yeah, where I will...
Pray tell.
It's about my appetites. Not that I had too much to eat or drink, but that I wasn't the one making the decision. I just was doing it because my appetites wanted it. Even though maybe I didn't even exceed the limits of temperance with whatever it is, I was giving in to... I was letting myself become more of an animal,
mm-hmm.
right? That instead of me making the choice of saying, yes, this is a good... I'm going to reach out... and take hold of this good here, you know, like, this is a good thing. I'm choosing it for mm-hmm. its goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I simply obey my appetite, that baser part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I subjugate the higher part of me to the lower part. And that's the disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I do that a lot. And
I think if men are honest with themselves, a lot of men do that a lot of times.
Yeah, I think I don't think I'm unique.
Right.
But it's something that we have to think about.
That's right.
Because I'm not striving for mediocrity. I might be mired in it, but I'm not striving for it, you know?
It's not your desire.
Yeah. I'm getting in one of these days when I get out of here. Okay. Like, I'm going in that direction. Okay. It's going to be a good day. Good day. Okay. I've been waiting to get to this one. I wanted to get your thoughts on this
one. Oh, wow. Okay.
When your ordinary work or business is not particularly engrossing, let your heart be fixed more on God than on it. And if your work be such as to require your undivided attention, then pause from time to time to look to God, even as navigators do who set their course for the harbor by looking up to the heavens rather than down into the deeps on which they sail.
This is something that I intentionally try to do. I try to do this with setting alarms mm-hmm. throughout the day to stop. We do a great job at working, you know, when you work at Exodus 90, like starting each meeting basically off in prayer. I mean, it's not easy to do, but once you actually get into the habit of it, obviously, it's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. I just think this is why you should read St. Francis. This is such practical, you know, if your work doesn't require your full attention, you know, if you're kind of doing something over and over, you know, if you're like doing a mindless task, something that, you know, you can do without thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well then, as you do it, think about God. If your work does require your full attention, then that's okay. You know, like, put your full attention into your work, but mm-hmm. pause every now and then mm-hmm. to, like, turn back to Him.
There are times...
It's just such after great advice.
Yes, there's times after intense work that's been very, like, mind-focused, you know, where I have to really... focus on what I'm doing and being very intentional about it, that I'll stop and I'll go take a walk outside for just a few seconds, like not long, not like 20-minute walk or anything, but just for a few minutes and just say a couple prayers, look up to the heavens
mm-hmm.
and just recalibrate.
Sometimes when I'm doing work that I'm fully engrossed on, as I'm like arriving, like making decisions or arriving at conclusions, my way of like incorporating Him is to ask, like, Lord, what do you think? You think that's the right, is this the right answer? Like,
what does He say?
He usually agrees. He almost always agrees with me, actually.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing.
That's impressive.
this next one, this is the one I first opened up to on Friday. Okay. So Friday.
This is the movement, the first mover of.
Yes, this was it. So Friday was a fast day, you know, Exodus and...
just Fridays in general.
And Fridays in general, yeah. But same. We got there and I found out like dinner was going to be about an hour later than I expected to. So as I was reading this, I was already hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Dude, I was too. I was so hungry.
I was very hungry on Friday.
I hadn't eaten all day.
Yeah,
and
I was the same way. I hadn't eaten anything and...
I was ready.
So by the... And they're like, oh, dinner won't be till 7:40. I was like, ooh.
Okay.
That's okay. It's okay.
Holy indifference.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
More time to just draw near to Him.
That's right.
Okay.
Just want to hunger for the Lord.
So then I open up, I go, so as I'm like, because we had this extra time before dinner. So I'm in my room, like, oh, I'll start reading.
Right.
I open up the book. First thing I lay my eyes on is this. As you have nourished your soul in the morning with the heavenly bread of meditation, so you must also make a devout supper. Take then some little opportunity before supper to prostrate yourself before God and recollect yourself in the presence of Jesus Christ crucified, whom you may represent to yourself by a single consideration or an interior glance of the eye, and kindle again in your heart the fire of your morning meditation. And this quote goes on a little bit longer. It's like, or if you can't make a collation of like, the Lord. And it was just such a beautiful idea of, even if secretly, before every meal, pull yourself away interiorly from the food you're about to eat and towards and place yourself before the cross, that you might feed your soul first before your body, right? And it was just like, oh my gosh, it was so beautiful. And so I did it for the very first time on Friday. Like, we got down, I was hungry. Like, here we finally have the opportunity to eat. And it was so wonderful to have just this private moment where I'm setting things aside that I earnestly desire to just have that moment of him on the cross, you know? And so it's a habit I'm going to try to get into. By God's grace, I will achieve
An easy
that.
Way to do that is for dinner, when you sit down for dinner at the dinner table, you serve everybody else first.
Yeah.
And so you get to smell it. You get, like, you are in touch with the food, but you're not eating it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good sacrifice to make. Okay, so he says, here's something else, that most people ordinarily value temporal almsgiving more than the spiritual, and think more of fasting, exterior discipline, and bodily mortification than of meekness, cheerfulness, modesty, and other interior disciplines. Nevertheless, these are far better.
What were the interior disciplines?
So he says people value the exterior ones of fasting and almsgiving, but they think less of the interior things of and bodily mortification, exterior things, and they think less of meekness, cheerfulness, and modesty, and these other interior disciplines are far better.
Yeah, I think trying to get yourself in a good mood when you're not in a good mood around other people is not hard, easy to do. To be cheerful, even when you don't feel like being cheerful, is not easy to do. But we know that, you know, being cheerful, being joyful, is a great way of evangelization.
Yeah. It reminds me of what Christ says about, it's not things that come from without that defile a man, but the things that come from within that defile him. And, like, how much more important it is to have those interior virtues than the exterior ones. Because, you know, you can imagine, like, the we talked about them last week, the people who go out into the desert and...
The desert fathers?
No.
The ones
who weren't Christian, but they would, like, deprive themselves of things.
The Stoics.
Thank you.
They didn't go out to the desert.
Okay, well, maybe, whatever. Yeah. Okay, the Stoics. So, you know, you can have a lot of exterior disciplines, even without, like, a Christian, you know, but those interior disciplines, they are, like, you really have to have, you have to, like, those really require more of a life of grace. They're pretty extraordinary. We're coming up at the end here, so we'll end it with this. Self-love often deceives us and leads us away, gratifying its own passions under the name of zeal. Am I right?
Zeal is such a tough one.
So, and, like, you can, like, yep, yeah, oh, this is, I'm righteous anger. And
here, it's like, behold, I am the next John the Baptist.
Yes, it's like, yeah, you just really want it your way, and you're calling it zeal.
We're out of time on Catholic Radio. Go check us out on thecatholicmanshow.com. Thank you for listening to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus. I've got others. If you want to go over a couple more, I don't know.
Let's do one.
Okay, one. Let me see here. Pick a good one.
This is like a Michael Scott deal right here. It's like, oh, one. I was not expecting just one. Totally changed what I was gonna say next. If I only have one good one. Well, while you're doing that, I will let people know, because we've been getting messages about, like, hey, what happened to your YouTube channel? And it's like, hey, we have not been videoing our show, because
we've hidden it somewhere on the internet.
You have to go look for
it. It's like a Bitcoin. You have to go mine for it somewhere.
We don't have a studio any longer. And so...
Because we were in one of your extra bedrooms.
That's correct.
In your last house.
And I have moved, and so we don't have a studio any longer. So, thus, we don't have any camera set up.
But we do still have this card table.
And a laptop and microphones and headphones.
Mm-hmm. And we still have the video equipment.
We do, but it's just packed away.
Yeah.
Because this would not be a good...
This would not suit the needs.
So that's why our YouTube channel has gone silent. FYI.
But if the Lord directs us, we will follow his will. Okay, so let's...
We have a holy indifference about it.
Yeah. Holy indifference, I find, is just holy indifferent. You're welcome. Yes. You'll laugh at that later.
I won't.
You'll be like, that guy...
I will refuse to. I
didn't even realize that was so funny.
No.
And brilliant, actually.
All right, well, let's go to the last one.
Okay.
It has to be something about humility.
No.
That wouldn't be humble of you.
It would be nice if it was, though. It would be a good... Anyway, St. Francis de Sales says that true discipleship hinders no one. On the contrary, it perfects everything. And that which runs counter to the rightful vocation of any person is, you may be sure, a mistaken devotion. Everyone fulfills their own special calling better when done in a spirit of discipleship. Family duties are lighter, married love is deeper, service to our country more faithful. In short, every kind of occupation becomes more acceptable and better performed where this loyal discipleship is the guide.
That reminds me of the sign. We've said this before the show, deep track, long time ago, but you know, friends don't let friends sin. Family does, you know, you don't let friends sin.
There's another one on here. Second to last one, it says, as to sins, we must neither occasion them nor tolerate them in our friends.
He always rips things off.
You know, I'm pretty sure we said it before he did.
Yeah, pretty positive.
Yeah.
In all humility.
I'm just being honest with you.
No, I think that's so true, though, right? Is that when you're ordered towards the true, the good, and the beautiful, when you are not, have disordered passions, you're able to love better, you're able to... disciple better, you're able to serve your country better, the virtues of piety, the virtues, you know, all the virtues, it is a grow, like it has all room to grow because you are ordered correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that the notion of the universal call to holiness is really coming more common, that you know, there was,
you think so?
I do think so. And you know, it could just be the bubble that I live in.
Dude, you live in a bubble.
I do. I have
intentionally made that bubble.
Awesome. My bubble. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. But I do actually think that it has become more of a just given more so, but there certainly was a time in church history where the idea of holiness in the minds of many people were like, oh, that's for the lay people, right? You know, or I'm sorry, that's for the clergy,
okay,
you know?
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, or the religious.
If the clergy was like, oh, holiness is for the lay people, we would be in a lot of trouble.
Yes, I did misspeak. And, you know, you could kind of see that. It's like, look, I'm a construction worker, you know, I'm in a, you know, it's not a holy place, you know, whatever, like that's not, holiness isn't what I need to get my job done. That idea, you can kind of understand that, but it's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pick your vocation. Okay, well, maybe you're a fighter. You're a boxer. You'll be a better boxer with more discipleship, you know, with more of Jesus.
Right.
You'll still be better at what you do.
I totally agree with that.
I mean, not even just, I don't even mean just a better person. I mean that you will, those, the virtues will actually make you be better at what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Not just better while doing it.
Totally.
Yeah. Anything else before we close?
I'm a big fan of St. Francis de Sales. I think you should definitely go pick up the book, Intro to Devout Life, if you have not read that yet. Or if you have read it, it's a great Lenten read as well. Lent's coming up not too long from now.
Yeah.
It'd be a great...
What was the edition that you mentioned again?
Paraclete Giants.
Okay, so yeah, check them out. I also... I wish I could remember the edition I have downstairs. This is one of those books that I recommend getting a really beautiful... like a really nice edition, because it's such an extraordinary book. It's right and just for the exterior to match the beauty of the interior of the book. So that's also another recommendation. But see you next time.
St. Francis de Sales, pray for us.